whether the world has one or not. The people of God need to have a vision. My people perish if they don't have a vision. If you don't have a vision, if you can't see through everything that's going on, whether it's personal, whether it's family, whether it's economy, whether it's politics, whether it's society. You have to have a vision. You have to see everything. If you don't see everything, you can't see anything. You're not able to see anything because you don't see everything. So you have to see God's hand. You have to see what's going on politically. And people today are in utter confusion about everything, including the church. And so I've made this statement many times, and you'll just have to trust me that I'm hearing God. You'll have to trust me because if you know it, you know it. But if you don't know it, you don't know it. But I'm going to teach it anyway. Right now, if you get the church wrong, you're going to get everything else wrong. So it isn't the government. The government is symptomatic. That's another way to put it. The government is symptomatic. The fact that there's confusion in our society, divided down the middle or whatever it is, who knows what the number is. But it seems to be confused. The economy's in a shambles. The political thing will never be solved. It'll never unify. It'll never come together. This president's determined to forget. He doesn't care about that. Just destroy the nation if he has to get his little agenda done. You know, the Republicans did it, so I'm going to do it, and so on and so forth. But the truth is, it's not going to be solved, regardless. He will not be able to unite the nation ever. I mean, just forget that. So don't say that. Just say, I'm going to destroy it, because that's what you're going to do. So whether Bush did good or bad, I don't care. I think he messed up too. But the point is, you're not going to help anything. I mean, you're not even doing what politics is all about. Getting your little agenda done is not politics. Religion may be for you and me, but politics is for everybody. If you don't unite, you aren't a president. If you do not unite the nation, you aren't a president. Well, what can I do? How can I unite the nation? Well, certainly your policies aren't helping. If you want to unite the nation, you should find out what's in common, and there are certain things that are in common. Otherwise, there can't be politics. If there is nothing common, there can be no politics. If you can't bring e pluribus unum, if you can't bring out of the many one, then get out of the business, because you don't know what you're doing. At any rate, today, the symptoms are all there, but the church is the problem, and that's what nobody's noticing, including the church. The church itself doesn't even see it's the problem. If you don't see what God is doing, for example, I'll give one scripture. Let judgment begin in the household of God. That's real clear to me. Is he not really worried about politics or economy or world war or, you know, Antichrist or whatever. Not worried about those guys. People call me up all the time, oh, there's so many bad people out there. I'm trying to pray against Satan and so on. So I say, hey, what for? Why worry about it? I don't think God wants to get rid of Satan. I'm sorry. He's not interested in that. Have you noticed your prayers aren't working? I'm praying against, you know, witchcraft and da-da-da. Well, good. Pray against it. What good is it doing? God doesn't want it gone or it'd be gone. Don't worry about the sin in society. Don't worry about the sin in your husband, your children, so on. That's none of your business. Yours is make sure you, just you as an individual, don't have any logs in your eye, that you're the one in love with Jesus and rejoicing in the Lord. That's what you're told to do. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. So if you're not getting everything else, instead of fighting the devil over it, and that's a Calvinistic approach. Luther basically left the world alone. I mean, he didn't help matters, but he left it alone. But he did say, let's seek God. But I told you, his major blindness, bad, 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 naughty, 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 was that he never followed what he saw. He saw how to fix the church, and he said, I don't dare do it because I don't have any real Christians, which is all true, and so I'm not going to do it. Well, just because you can't, just because it's impossible, so what? What's that have to do with anything? If God shows you something, do it. If you have to suffer, so what? So Luther messed up. He didn't fix the world, but he didn't even fix the church. He set up a Volkskirche instead of a Freiwilligkeitskirche. A Freiwilligkeitskirche is what he saw. He wrote it out. We know he saw it. He told what he said. This is it. This is what it looks like and so on, but I'm not going to do it. Well, you just messed up Western society. And so I blame Luther, even though I totally understand what he was saying. You know, it's, you know, we're not Catholic anymore, so we're going to develop this middle thing. Well, show me the scripture for the middle thing. There's no scripture for a territorial church. There's no scripture for a national church. There's no scripture for each region having a church. There's none of those. There's no scripture for that. Church has no political connections at all. So a Volkskirche is a people's church that each regional prince was able to decide. Anyway, I'm just using this as an illustration. Well, this is stupid. There's nothing in the Bible like that. So get out of it. Don't be playing with that. Don't fix up something. Okay, I'm not working on politics. So he gave too much power to the political. The church, the Volkskirche, should come under the power of the prince. Well, that left an Adolf Hitler free reign. That left all kinds of stupid things, the absolute state, statism. The whole modern world now has been fighting for the last 400 or 500 years because he messed up on that. I'm not mad at him. I'm just simply saying that was a mistake, big mistake. Calvin then made it even bigger by saying, oh, Luther's wrong. The end of the world isn't coming. Let's solve it. Let's try to clean this world up. Let's have, let's keep the church and state close together and see if we can't get some liberty going and freedom of conscience and so on. Yeah, okay, if you just stay within your own realm, but not if you try to fix up the political world, fix up society, the social thing. So today, this is the confusion today. Today, people are still trying to do all that stuff. Well, has it worked? Is the United Nations somehow under God? Did you ever read that he was? I don't think so. So you're not going to have it. And so politically, we're as bad as we've ever been and worse off than we'll ever be, even though you had the Puritans and the Pilgrims and all these people trying to make for a more Christian government. Who cares? I don't want a Christian government. I don't want that. I want to do what God said. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Let's just stick with church. Let's not worry if we're persecuted or hated or we got freedom or we don't have freedom or people want to tax us or don't want to tax us or whatever. Do what you want to do. I'm not interested in any of that. Don't care about it. Oh, I work on it, yes, but I don't care about it. My only interest is to build the church. And I'll tell the government, oh, no, don't hurt us. They're not going to listen. I never thought they would listen. Not for a moment. I have never told them. I told them, don't do it. But I knew they would. I didn't say it so they wouldn't. I said it so I could suffer. Do y'all understand? What I'm saying is I don't care about this world. I don't want my wife to clean up. Of course I told her, you submit it to me and, worship me and so on, but I don't do it. I mean, I don't care. It doesn't matter what I say. It's not going to do it. Holy Spirit, he's the only one that can do that. I don't try to fix my husband, my wife, my children, my church, my anything. I don't try to fix the church. I'm not trying. I just simply tell you what God said. If you want to do it, praise the Lord. You don't want to do it, don't. It doesn't at all disturb me. Like, oh, I can't believe the church is so rebellious. I don't care. I'm in love. I'm just taking care of me. And I don't really care about Satan. Satan does not disturb me. It's just he can't get at me. That's the only guy he can't get at. He can get at my kids, my wife, my children, everything. He can get at all that. I don't care. That's their business. They're going to have to duke it out themselves. I'm not saying I don't have responsibility. I'm just saying I don't take myself seriously. Now, I'm right. I know it doesn't sound like I'm right, but I'm right. Is the only one you can take care of is you individually rejoice. You individually worship God. You individually, and if you have to suffer, good. What's that hurt? Why control your husband? I don't know if anybody's ever tried that. I'm just going to, don't show your hands. I'm just going to try to ask this question. Has anybody ever tried to control a woman or a man? Or a child, or anybody, it can't be done. Let God be God. Hey, God is really good at defeating the devil when he wants to. I don't think he wants to. Here's my vision, is that God wants the devil to stay until the devil's done. He wants the bad church to be there until the bad church is done. But what he wants, I know what he wants, is I don't care about all that. What I'm trying to do is get my own people. I just want one Abraham. He started out with one man. I just want one man. Then later I'll get a little family. I'll even kick out the oldest son, Ishmael. I'll kick out his mom, a wife. I'll kick them all out, and I'll just have my one little family, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac.
and call him, he laughs.
Now, Isaac didn't laugh because he would be killed. He wasn't laughing. But his mom and dad, they had to call him, he laughs. In other words, God's laughing at, you know, the folly of trying to do good works. The folly of trying to clean this world up, fix your marriage, fix your body, fix anything. You can't fix anything. You can't even fix yourself. So I love the incapacity of man. I love the arrogance of man that imagines he can do all things, and the foolishness of that. Every day I learn what an idiot I am. And every day I'm impressed with that. It's, oh yeah, I could be God. Oh yeah, I'm not. Every day I go through the same. Does anyone else do that? You know, just every day. Well, today I could control, I think, the universe. At least I can start with the kitten. You know, we have a little cat now that's adopted us. And she has to stay out. Stay out. You're not coming in. We will feed you just because you look too skinny. But that doesn't mean we're adopting you. But you think we adopted you. So that cat stays right at the house no matter what. And it's an alley cat. We didn't train it. It doesn't even know us. But for some reason, it adopted us. And there's five or six cats in the neighborhood just wandering around. But this one took us. I hate that cat, but that's now my cat. He knows it. He picked me. He comes up. He's so friendly. Every day gets you right on your knees. And so he's an alley cat. He should have run from me. You know, for some reason, he just come right up. Hey, what are you doing? Get away. I don't like cats. Go. But now I'm feeding it. He knows it. He could come and twist my, he knows how to get me. You know, he looks so cute. Get down and pet me now. And he'd just, meow, meow. He'd just keep talking until I yield. Isn't that funny? So I can't control anything. I don't have any control of anything. But I don't want to be in control. I like being vulnerable. I like being totally, you know, even if I say I'm not going to sin anymore, but I do. I don't even control that. Okay, I'm not going to be proud, but I am. I'm proud that I wasn't proud. You know, it's whatever. I just can't not do anything. I'm not able to do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, I'm real happy with that. And so the vision is, I could lay it all out. I could lay out politically, economically, socially, everything. I could lay it all out. I could show you what. But I know the only thing he's after is a bride. The only thing he wants is his girl. That's all. That's all he's after. He's coming back, and when he comes back, he'll judge all those other things. But he's coming back. Where's my girl? Where's my girl? Where's my sweetheart? And that's all he's looking for. Jim, how are you doing? Are you spotless? Kind of. By faith? No. I mean, did you die to such a point? Did you let the Holy Spirit? Did you yield? Did you grieve the Holy Spirit, or did you yield? Kind of a little bit yielded. What do you mean a little bit? Did you yield? Well, in faith I did. No, but did you yield your soul, yourself? Did you let yourself die? Sometimes. Did you let good works be wrought in God, or did you wrought them? Sometimes. A little bit. Okay, so very good. You know, so what kind of a grade am I going to get? Well done. You know, I don't know. Some days I feel more spiritual than others. I feel like, come today. Today I think I'm okay. I'm kind of deadish. You know, today I was real proud that you knocked me down, and I was okay. I was knocked down. So, come. No. But I know I'm in. I know I'm in. I'm confident that I'm in, but I'm working on it night and day. That's my vision, is not to fix anything or do anything because I'm such a mess myself. It's just to get me. If I could just breathe myself rather than saving 50 other people, if I could just breathe myself and get my head above water and cry out, Jesus, save me. If I could just do that, I feel I'd be in good shape. So I don't know where you all are, but I don't want to be a good pastor. I don't want to be a good husband. I don't want to be anything. I just want to be Jesus' beloved. That's all. So Jesus, you just take care of me. Just take care of me. I'm like that little cat. I'm adopting you. I'm gonna get right in your ankles, right like there, and you can't move. Because that little cat, you know, wherever I walk, he's just right in front of me. And I don't even know where he is. He's so quick because he's just a kitten. He's just quick. He's like that. And he'll be right out in the street, and I'll drive the car in, and he'll be right at the back door already. You know, how did he get there? I didn't even see him. He goes so fast. He knows right where I'm going. He can anticipate me moving. We have big windows in the house so you can see where I go from room to room. So he follows me, and he knows that I'm going to go to the next room. So he'd be at this room right here, and he'd see me going to the next, he'd be right the next window already. He can anticipate me. He's cool. I'm like that. Whatever Jesus is, that's what I want to be. So I'm for just the bride, which is corporate. That doesn't mean just me alone, but just the bride being ready. And so for this church, which I have no control over, this church, I want to be pure, spotless, no sin ruling, no sin at all. Well, I got a church full of sinful people, and that's great because I can't, what can I do? What can I do? I can't make the sin go away. All I can do is tell you, I don't know, I don't think he's coming back for a spotted bride. I'm just telling you that. So that's the law. That's the law side. The gospel side is he loves you. The law side is he doesn't want a spot. He doesn't want any spots. That's not bad news. That could be bad news for some people because they got spots. And it could be for me, but I don't think so because my faith is real strong. My faith is immaculate. But my behavior lags. There's a gap between what I believe I am and what I look like. You know, it's like you say you're a Christian, but what about this? You know, well, I have to admit, yep, that's a little bit of a problem. Nevertheless, sorry, forgive me, thank you. Did you say that sincerely? I probably didn't, but just kind of fix it, you know. So I don't have any doubt that God, I'm going to be part of the bride. But it's not so simple because you can't conquer that. You can't conquer it. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be the Holy Spirit. So I have to pray every day like this. Holy Spirit, convict me of all my sins, which I know about 7,000 right now if you just, you know, ask me. But you know exactly what my sins are that you want to work on. So let's not go through my list of 7,000. Let's just go through your one sin that you're going to show me today. So, Holy Spirit, which one do we want to work on today? Which one? Exactly which one? Because you know my ambitions. You know I'll just go off without you. I won't even wait for you. I can play God and judge myself and figure out what my sins are, fix them a little bit. Yeah, I can do all that. But you know what? That's not going to do any good. So you convict me. And when you show me the depth of my sin, I know I'll confess it. I know as soon as I see how wretched I really am compared to you, beholding you, we are changed. As soon as I see, and see, I know the church is still not, they're not seeing their sin, or they don't want to see their sin, but I do. I want to see my wickedness, how wicked I am. And the more I see, I'm amazed at how little I can grow and still be happy. It was amazing to me. It's like, Jim, why are you smiling? Why are you happy? Well, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, but look at your life. Oh, yeah, let's not look at my life. Let's just look at Jesus. That's my life. I always want to just stay right there. I don't want to move far off the path because I'm not so sure how good I am. And if I would judge from people, I would say I'm certain I'm not making it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I'm not making it. But I'm not going to look at that. Let's just not look at that. Let's just look at Jesus' love to me. So I stay right there. Jesus, you want to get me cleaned up? You'll have to do it all by yourself. You can't expect me to help you. I'm too treacherous. Sneaky, sneaky. I'm like my little cat. The next window right there. You know, how'd you get here? You know, you never know what I'm going to do. I am so independent. Is anyone else as wicked as I am? Very independent and very clever. I can be humiliated in 1 second, and the next second, pride can be restored to me. Incredible hubris, incredible self-capacity. What a play actor, you know, just like, oh, God, what an embarrassment I am. And sometimes, you know, I just let it all out, you know, but then other times I try to cover a little bit for his sake. And then I realized, you know, really, I don't need to cover for a sink because he sees right through it. And then it's on. Is anybody else like me? Okay. I have utter joy that God not only will forgive me and will forget all those things, but that he'll actually kill me and I will be killed. And he'll kill me not just now and again, but he'll kill me on a more regular basis. Isn't that powerful? So, without a vision, if you don't have a vision of what's needed today, not fixing Obama, not fixing the economy, not fixing anything, just what does God want? Well, God wants for us to be radiantly happy all the time. That's one thing I know he wants. And I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at that. In fact, I'm real good at that. I am always radiantly happy because of God's love to me. So I don't get very far off base. In other words, I never seem to get to the maturity level, or at least I don't stay there very long. I seem to be more a little child than a young man or a mature father. And yet I'm in an office where I have to be mature. But I have to keep confessing all the time that even though I'm in an office where I have to be mature, that it's more talk than walk. It's, you know, and I don't need to say all that, but I want to. I mean, I just, why? Why not? Then it's all up to God. I mean, I'm never going to be a good God. I'm not going to be dependable, reliable. But one thing about me that's really good is I know there's a God, and I got to have him. I got to have a God. Because otherwise, I would touch everything and wreck it, ruin it, destroy it. But I would do it with great pride. I would do it with great confidence that I knew exactly what I was doing and that I was able. So God wants to humiliate us every day to exalt us. Every day to humiliate us. To he that's exalted will be humbled, but he that's humbled will be exalted. So every day he wants to take us through that little process. Does anyone notice that? That every day you're proud again. When you see Jesus, you realize, well, I'm not like Jesus, so I must be proud. I must be lifted up somewhere. And every day he reveals that, and therefore you're humbled. Oh my gosh, so I'm not very good. Look at this. But every day then, as soon as I'm humbled, God forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm exalted again. So I don't know how that all works. I just believe it. I just totally believe that. And I'm experiencing it. I'm actually walking in that day by day by day. And you have to just laugh. You just have to, wow, praise God. Praise God. Everything is working out. It's perfect. God is in the heavens. God's totally in control. He's never been thwarted. He never will fail. The devil is not a problem. I know everybody's afraid of the devil, the Antichrist, you know, bad things happening. But I do not believe that. I believe that the devil is completely chained. He's completely bound. He cannot touch you and me. Our problem is not with the devil. Our problem is with us. Just you haven't been crushed enough by the law. By the law. You know, just to realize you aren't perfect, Jim. You're not perfect, Jim. I have to be reminded every day. The Roman emperors, when they came into town after a big victory, they had a 12-year-old boy sitting behind them on the victory wagon. They had a little horse-drawn, white horses, you know, many white horses, and they would sit on a golden, you know, chariot. And they had a little boy, 12 years old, sitting behind them, saying to the emperor, constantly in his ear, "Remember, thou art but a man. Don't forget." And here the people are, "Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar!" You know, wonderful, glorious. You are a god. You know, and so he had to remember as he's throwing out coins, and the people are saying in Greek, "Kyrie eleison," Lord have mercy. In other words, throw some more coins. So he's throwing more coins. In other words, I just conquered the Gauls. I just conquered Britain. You know, I just conquered something or other. And so he's, here's the booty. Here's some of the, see, it's for you. I'm an emperor for you. And now he's really exalted because this is not pride. He's not selfish. So he had this little boy sitting behind him saying, "Remember, you are just a man. Don't forget you're just a man." Because it would be easy to forget. Are you not aware of that? It would be easy to forget that you're not great as you think you are. And so every day, no matter how humble we are, we're proud of our humility. You're still proud, no matter what. You cannot erase that hubris, concupiscence, selfishness. You can't erase it. You can't say, okay, today I'll be humble. You can't. You can't, because you'd be proud that you were humble. Today I won't be impatient. But you will. You'll be impatient that you weren't. You weren't patient. So you cannot do any of that. You know what? You don't need to. What you don't need that. You're already a lover. You're already joyful. You're already a Christian. But you have sin in you that blocks it. So even though you're a lover, hatred comes out. Even though you're patient, impatience comes out. Even though you're joyful, misery comes out. Why? Because there's still, you know, all kinds of blockages in you, and you can blame Satan, but it's just you. It's just you. Of course there's temptation. Why does Jesus not take us out of the world? There wouldn't be any temptation if he took us out. As soon as you become a Christian, take you home. No. No, he leaves you in the world. He puts that tree right in the middle of the garden so that you will constantly be tempted. And he knows that's going to humble us because I can't stay away from that tree. I cannot prevent myself from sinning. Yeah, there's no way I can say, now I'm perfect. You cannot say that. You can say it by faith. God has imputed to me righteousness. But you cannot say it in fact. So all I can say is, Lord, I was proud, but forgive me. Thank you. I believe you. And he imputes to me then that I'm righteous because I admitted I'm not. If I say I'm not, then he says you are. If you say you're blind, then he says, you know, you can see. But if you say you see, then he'll say you're blind. So you cannot win with God. You're always just humble yourself and he'll exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, he'll humble you. So if you're a mountain, you got to be, you know, laid low. And if you're a valley, he's got to lift you up. So quickly as you can, get off the mountain, get down the valley, and take your lumps, and then he'll lift you up. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So what you don't want is unhappiness. What you don't want is unhappiness, but you're not going to escape it. I don't care what you do, you're not going to put heaven on earth. This is not the Garden of Eden. This world is not, you know, the place to conquer and change it and alter it. They hated Luther. Calvin particularly hated Luther on this one point, that he didn't want to clean the world up. Calvin did. That's why England and America and all this stuff, you know, we're going to be a better people and, you know, more civilized and so on and so forth. Well, it's not going to work. Luther was much more pessimistic about that. I don't think you can change all those things. Let God handle that. And you see, if God wanted to, he could clean up the left hand. He could knock down any prince he wants to, just eliminate him. But he doesn't want to, obviously. If he wanted to, he could kill Satan. He doesn't want to. So he leaves him. He says, I'm not worried about the world. I'm not trying to defeat the bad guy. I am only over here wanting my bride to be pure. Is anything keeping the bride from purity? Yes, one thing. She doesn't want to suffer. That's all. She doesn't want to suffer. To be in a marriage and make it work, you'll have to suffer. You won't be able to have a self. No, I want to keep myself and have a good husband and have Jesus. Well, I don't know. It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. You're going to have to get rid of one or the other. Because you cannot control your husband or your wife or your neighbor or your church or your government or your economy or anything else. You don't control anything. Everything's under God, whether you like it or not. Even the wicked who are so wicked, God's not going to clean it up. He's not going to clean it up. He'll just leave it. You know, the communists may try to overthrow this and the, you know, it's just a naive thought that in this world we're going to have a great government. You're not going to have a great government. Does God want good government? Yes, it does. Is he for it? Yes. But he's going to do it the way, you know, not the way you would do it. He's going to do it by saying, I want my church to be a light. You're not going to have good government where there's no church. Get the church right, you'll get the government right. If you get the church wrong, you're going to get the government wrong. So I believe Luther completely messed up, completely, because he failed to do what he sought to do. And if he had just worked on the church and set up his house churches instead of his Volkskirche, his Volkskirche was nothing. That's just something part of this world still. That's mixed. It's a mixed thing. Leave it alone. Should have gone with what he saw. Then he led Calvin astray and Wesley and a lot of other people because they didn't know how to move and they were all confused. The Anabaptists, who are weirdos, the Anabaptists tried to overthrow it. They're just like short of communists because they felt, liberty, liberty, let's have liberty. Well, it's great. But, you know, you're not even mature. You're not even mature. You want to give liberty to a two-year-old? That's the Anabaptist spirit. We're ready. We're born again. Yeah, you're born. So what? Does that make you mature? Born doesn't make you mature. So the Anabaptist spirit, and it's still the spirit of the Baptists today who are much like Calvinists, is see if you can't change the world. Not only you forget yourself, let's change the world before you change yourself. How about dying out to your wickedness first? No, we're already righteous by Christ. Well, I don't think so. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Spiritually, you've been born again because you believe in Jesus. So what? That doesn't mean anything. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. What about discipleship, discipline? What about coming under that? Well, the Calvinists were full of discipline and discipleship. They were right and everybody else was wrong. Overthrow everybody else. Nah, I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. I think he had in mind, if you love one another. Did Calvinists love one another? No. Did the Baptists, or the Lutherans, or the Catholics? No. There is no love one another. So obviously we weren't good disciples. And the world is not a better place. It's not a happier place. It's just what it is. Hasn't changed a whit. Old Testament, New Testament, since Jesus, before Jesus, it's still the world. I don't think he's working on the devil in the world. I don't think he's trying to defeat these guys. Jesus already did that spiritually. So they're gone spiritually. Your problem is you don't believe that. That Jesus actually defeated those people. So why are you worried about him cursing you or getting you or stumbling you or whatever? Stop feeling sorry for yourself and trying to, you know, be proud that you can do this and do that and so on. No, you don't need a better husband. You don't need a better wife. You don't need a better anything. You don't need anything different. Just seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. I'll give you a good government. You seek me, I'll give you a good government. But you didn't seek me. So you'll have the government you got. It's not going to be the one you wanted. It'll be this one right here. Why? Because you don't govern yourself. If you had sought me first and were dead, and I could govern you by the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't need a heavy-handed government. The reason we have a heavy-handed government is because we are not self-disciplined. We are overweight. We are lazy. We are arrogant. We are ruining our kids. We are debauched. You know, that's okay. You can still be a Christian. But admit it. Come before God and say, you know, I am still worried. That's a sin. I'm still overweight. That's a sin too. I gripe too much. That's a sin too. I judge other people. That's a sin. There's all kinds of sins, and he doesn't want any. I don't want any. I don't want my bride to have any sins. I don't want one spot on her. Now, it's okay that you have them, but ask for forgiveness. Put blood on them. Whenever you see a spot, put some blood on it. In fact, just wash yourself in the blood. Just get a shower every day of blood. Now, it only happens once. That's for your spiritual man. But for your soul man, your psuche, your psyche, your self, your personality, you need every day to die. You can't die once. Jesus died once. Now you're born again. Now you have a new nature. But that doesn't help you. That's the Protestant stupidity. Protestants are stupid because they think just because I believe in Jesus, it's over. No, it's just begun. So the Protestant churches are completely blind, without a vision. My people perish for lack of knowledge, true knowledge. They are destroyed. Well, I know Jesus loves me. Okay, good. I'm. Thank you. Wonderful. But that is not going to change society or your husband or your little kitten. Nothing's going to change that. The fact that you know Jesus died for you is only the first thing. That's called, you know, justitia Dei. That's the justice of God. And you are now justified by faith. So, it's still, that's not the end of the matter. He's not coming back for a justified church. He's not going to come back and say, you believed so well. Thank you so much for believing. I'm not going to say that. He's looking for deeds. He's looking for deeds. Not man-made deeds, God-made deeds. Well, how can you get one of those after your death? That doesn't come from his death. It's now your death that's next. So discipleship is always an invitation to die. In other words, no more you. He doesn't want physical death, martyrdom. He doesn't want you to be a monk or a nun. He doesn't want you running away from the world. He wants you in the world, where the temptations are everywhere. In the world, but not of it. Well, just being born again doesn't make you not of it. It makes your birth not of it, but not your life. You're still tempted every day to do all the stuff the world does. And that's what he wants to eliminate. Now, don't worry about all the immature Christians. He's not after the immature Christians. He's after the mature. A disciple, when he's fully taught, will be just like his master. Well, we haven't quite gotten there yet. We're like the foolish maidens that took no oil. We didn't need the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. Well, I'm already, you know, pretty honest and pretty good, and I think I'm a pretty good person. That's irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. I'm a pretty good person. That's not God's view. None is good but God. Well, God and I worked it out. No, you didn't. God and I worked it out. If God did it, it's done. But if you did it, it's not done. So it's an unfinished business. And God is not going to finish that off. The charismatic movement also is a crazy movement. Why? Because they want activism, you know, do something without growing up. They want to go straight from born again to producing miracles, signs, and wonders, and then their flesh is still untouched. And they're proud and they're happy, and, you know, at least they're not miserable Christians, so now they're happy Christians. They're still, it's not what Jesus wanted. That's just a kind of human hubris again. It's just pride again. And all kinds of arrogance and, you know, I guess I don't have any faith, and I guess you have faith, and all this stuff, and I prayed for a miracle, but it didn't happen. It doesn't work. It's not working. Because nobody wants to do it the simple way that God said. Well, first thing you do is you believe that he died for you, so now you're acceptable to God. Second thing you do is he wants you to die. And that takes weeks. It does. It does. And for some people, it's months before they've got all the sin conquered in their lives, so that there's no more sin ruling them. Pride is broken. You know, your humility is what you're all about. Well, most of us haven't arrived, because it took not only weeks and months and years and decades. We're not even getting closer. We're not even getting closer. The older you get, the more stubborn people become. The more, you know, they don't want to hear anything new. Don't teach me anything new. Every day I'm learning new things. Every day. Every day I'm newly amazed at how wicked I can be. Or every day I'm newly amazed at how great God is. Every day, how much truth I don't have. Every day I'm amazed. I'm so amazed. Are you? You see, most people, when they get older, when they get after 55 or 60 or something, they just stop learning. All they want now is to relax, retire, you know, sit down and, you know, enjoy themselves. I'm never going to do that. Never. 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 I'm not going to do it. When I was younger, I did want to do that. I wanted to, you know, get away from the church and go out and get a farm somewhere and just, you know, live out in the country and have an idyllic, ideal life. And I would have been a great agriculturalist. I would have been an incredible, I would have done marvelous things. And today, a whole bunch of the church members are doing it. They're doing exactly what I wanted to do. And I used to envy that, and I think, you know, I'd like to be 50 miles at least away from the city, so that when the bad times come and they burn up the cities and stuff, I won't even be there. I'll be out in the country eating good food and having plenty for the refugees that come out. But all that is rubbish. I don't even believe in that anymore. I'm not even going there anymore. I'm just go ahead, enjoy each day as it comes. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm worried about the thing falling apart, or, you know, police state or whatever. Let it all fall apart. It doesn't mean anything to me. It means nothing to me. Why? Because I believe what God is after is none of that. I don't think he's caring about the left hand over here. I think he's only interested here. Jim, do you believe? Ed, I don't want you to do any work. I want to do all the work. So I want you dead so I can do more work with you. That means you rejoice all the time. You're going to love Peggy all the time. You're going to love your church all the time. You're going to be just mine all the time. Golly, God, when will I have any time? No time for you. Because, Jim, have you ever noticed what you do when you have time? Yeah. That's why I don't want you to have any. He doesn't trust me. How many know God does not trust you? Put not your trust in man. Put not your trust in leaders, princes, pastors, popes. Put your trust in no man. Why? Because only God is good. Put your trust in the Lord. You see? So we want to trust some of his servants, or maybe, you know, I'm going to trust this pastor. I'm going to trust this bishop. I'm going to trust this evangelist. No, don't trust anybody. Well, at least I'm going to trust my husband. No, you're not allowed to trust your husband. Why are you mad at your husband? Because you wanted to trust him. That's why. Let him go. Take him off his pedestal. Just let him be a husband. Well, then how can I submit to him? So he can suffer. Well, I don't want to suffer under him. That's what he needs, is love. Just love him as he is. Just tell him, I'm not going to love you as you ought to be. I'm going to love you as you are. I'm not going to love you to make you change. My love is not powerful to make you change. If you change because of it, that's between you and God. I'm just going to love you because you need it, not because you deserve it. You don't deserve my love. I'm just going to give it to you because Jesus said, put it that direction. If you want to love God, love the neighbor. Don't love God. He doesn't need anything. How many know God's got plenty of money? He's got plenty of food. He's not hurting for anything. There's no sacrifice you could make that, oh, thank you, I was really in need of that. You know, I appreciate that. Wasn't I just saying that? I needed this? this wonderful person here. When somebody has everything, you can't give them anything. You know, you just can't. You just can't. So that's why I tell my kids at Christmas, God, I don't want presents. Don't get me anything. If you want to get me something just because of your guilt thing or whatever, get me a can of peanuts or something. I don't want anything. A card will be fine. And I really, I don't want it. I mean, I don't want it. But of course, I wouldn't look like much if they didn't buy these shirts, these pants and stuff. So it's very good that they actually do. Because once a year, I get at least two shirts. Peggy, she'll see to it that I get some nice things, and so I look decent for a whole year. And I wear the same thing all the time, just keep wearing it out till it's over. You don't like that. It's embarrassing, but it's all right. The bride is God's whole vision. Everything is what's on his right side. On God's right hand, it's his bride that he cares about. I'm coming back. He said, Jesus, you're not over the world yet. How many know Jesus does not run the world? He's not over the United Nations. He's not over America. It's not a Christian country. There is no such thing. Jesus is not in charge of all men yet. Later, he'll come back, and then he'll judge. But right now, he's in charge of the church, and he has no power over his own church. His own church is rebelling against him. His own church is worldly. His own church is mixed. It's got spots all over it. There's no hand-holding. There's no kissing. You know, Lord, I didn't actually do bad. I just held hands. He doesn't want you to hold hands. I just winked. I don't want you to wink. His girl is totally for him alone, to do exactly his bidding, to worship him, to admire him, to look to him. He doesn't have such a bride. So that's what is my vision for myself is, Lord Jesus, I just want to love you and you alone. I just want to know you. Remember King David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Against thee and thee only. That's a lie. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against the people of Israel. He sinned against himself. He sinned against his wives. He sinned against all kinds of people. But he said, no. Those are symptoms. I sinned against thee and thee only. That's amazing. So you see, all of your sins are against God. Long before there is sin against a neighbor, you have to sin against God in order to harm a neighbor. In order to sin against your neighbor over here, you have to sin against God over here. So God is interested not in the second table, but in the first table. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can have all the gods in the world, but just don't have anyone before me. I want to be the only God you have, even though you have 50,000 others. I want to be the one that determines what you do with all them. You have to hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children, your own life. your own life, and you have to hate all that because you don't get to decide. So you can tell he's into that first commandment. If you could do the first commandment, you've done all of them. No other gods. Now here he's going to tell you now what he wants. As your only God, he's going to tell you what he wants. No images. Don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Commit adultery. Covet. And so on and so forth. Bear false witness. All of those flow from that first point that he made. By the way, if you want to know anything, and every child that's born into this world, first thing they want to know, who's my boss? Who's my boss? You know, and they know. That little kitty cat that just adopted us totally knows I'm the master. Totally. And I've introduced Peggy to the little kitten, so now the kitten knows we're the two people that all the food comes from us. So all the nourishment of that little kitten, you could go to the neighborhood and get it. But no, it's going to come to our door. Wants us to feed it. A yellow bowl. We give him a yellow bowl. And we do the same thing every day. And he's constantly at the door. Meow, meow. He wants to be fed again. We fed you already. You know, don't ask for more. So that little kitten knows who the master is. And figured it out right away. And every little kid wants to, Mom, now, are you the boss or Dad the boss? Are you the boss or my sister, my older sister, she the boss? Do I boss the dog? How does this thing work? Every little kid wants to know that. Does my older brother get to tell me what to do? Does Dad tell you what to do? Or who tells Dad what? You know, they want to know that. Now who's God over God? They want to get that straight. That's what every kid, when they're in a healthy home, they're going to ask, well, who made God? Okay, I got it all worked out. But now, who made him? I want to know, is there somebody above him? No, he's the last guy. Okay, so good. I got that worked out. So they know exactly how the world works. Isn't that amazing? Little kids know their master. Every cow, every dog, every parakeet, they know their master. They know who's in charge. And if I go up to a little bird, like somebody has a parakeet or parrot, you stick your finger in there, because they're able to do it, you know, they'll bite you. Hey, what do you do that for? Or if you pick up a stray cat, they'll scratch you or whatever. Don't do it. Have you ever noticed that? But you can have what are those pit bulls? You can have a pit bull. He will protect you. But if anyone else comes up to you, he will bite you. And you don't want him to bite you. Because he does not let go. So he's gonna take a chunk of meat out of you. Okay? So that's the way it is. Who is your master? And animals are smarter than we are. We don't even know who our master is. So Jesus said, when a disciple, not a believer, when a disciple, that's a believer who now wants to be, who wants his Lord. See, a believer is a believer and a Savior. But a disciple is an obedient person to the Lord. They recognize Jesus not only saved me, but he saved me to Lord me. He only saved me to become my Lord. That's where the Catholics were right. They knew there has to be good works. But how? How to get those good works? Through your death. But you can't produce your own death. You try to kill yourself, it won't work. You can go to Mass all day long or light candles or go through all that stuff. It will not humble you. Yes, it'll cramp your style, but it will not destroy the hubris. St. Augustine was very clear about that. Who can remove the concupiscence in a man's heart? No amount of good works will ever do that. No amount of human works will ever remove from a pope or a bishop or anybody. But Protestants are even worse than that because they say you don't have to do good works because Jesus did them. Yes, it's spiritually, but still good works must be done, so your death is the good work. Get your death. Submit to him. Yield to him so that God can remove your life from you. So, yes, you don't have to do it the man-made way, but you'll have to do it the God way. And the God way is beholding him, we are changed. The more I come before Jesus every day, I behold him, the more Peggy gets the benefit. But that's not why I do it. I don't do it so that I look good or do good works. I just do it because he is the truth. and that'll set you free. When you fall in love with Jesus, it's not a mystical experience. It's not some kind of intellectual achievement. It's not a good work that you do. When you fall in love with Jesus, it's always through the Word. It's always through the Word. It is written. It is written. It is written. It's always through the Word. It's not through sacraments. It's not through rituals. It's not through pilgrimages. It's not through anything but this Word. This Word. Sola Scriptura. Only the Scripture. Only the Scripture. And a common person can share this Scripture with somebody and they're born again. A common person. You don't have to have the official group do it. You don't need me. I don't have to come along. You can do it anywhere at any time. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. It's powerful. This made the modern world. But unfortunately, in the modern world now, the state has become absolute or wants to be totalitarian. Everyone has tried it. America is doing it too. You can't say, well, we're not going to ever be tempted by that. Obviously, we are. We're obviously imperialistic. We're obviously wanting economic imperialism, if not political imperialism. We want to be great. We don't want to be humble. We want people to see Kmart. We don't want them to see our church. When foreigners come to this land, they don't come to see your church or your religion. They don't come to see the common people at work. What they want to see is all the goodies, all the stuff. Well, all of that stuff came because we were humble, but now that we're proud, now all that stuff is our God. We are materialists. We are mammonists to the hilt. Now, Pastor, why preach against that? I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying it's wrong. I don't care about it. It doesn't bother me a bit. I hardly ever go to Kmart or Walmart or any place else. I don't want to buy anything. I'm not interested. What I want to do is seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Well, to me, that's very powerful. I would not have a marriage today if it weren't for Jesus. I wouldn't have a church today if it weren't for Jesus. I wouldn't have a life today. I trade all my knowledge, all my education, all my everything for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Isn't that powerful, Barbara? It's the truth. Now, I wasn't looking for that when I was growing up. Not at all. I didn't want that. I didn't want this. I didn't want God. I just wanted this world. But now that I've tasted the difference, I don't want the world anymore. I mean, I actually thought, well, I really did want it, but I would say I was religious to, you know, cover it up. But no, I really don't want it anymore. I'm not tempted to want that. If people would adulate me, if they would, you know, sing praises, it's something that's distasteful to me. I don't want it. I'm already satisfied. How can you satisfy someone that's totally satisfied? I'm totally satisfied with the cross of Jesus. What he did on that cross, totally satisfying to me. And now, I want my own cross. I want to identify with him. I don't want happiness. I want truth. If you will seek first the kingdom of God, then continue in his word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. From what? From everything else. Because everything else bound me. You see, if I want adulation, I'm really not the one that's being admired. I'm totally dependent upon my admirers to get my admiration. So I'm the slave. They're the master. I have to have that love. I have to have whatever. No, I don't need anything. I have everything in Christ. When you're rich beyond measure, you don't want anything in this world. If you take everything away, I will laugh. And it probably will be taken away. Let it be taken away. It doesn't scare me. I know how to live with nothing. Living with nothing is not that difficult. It's only if you haven't been there, you don't know. But if you learn to live with nothing, you learn you can survive. Somehow you'll make it. But you better have a God. Now I have a God. I didn't have a God before. I just survived without a God. But I learned now God was with me that whole time. Thank you, God. I should have been aborted. I should have been destroyed. I should have been killed a bunch of times, and so on and so forth. Thanks be unto God, there's a God. I have done so many stupid, evil, wretched, shallow things. Thank you, God, that I'm still alive. Not only am I alive, I'm thriving. I don't care about my age. Never been to a hospital, never been sick, never been in debt. And how can that happen? I grew up in absolute terrible poverty. No plumbing till I was 12. No, you know, everything, outdoor toilet, pump, you know, the whole thing. Live off the dirt. street, you know, there was no nothing. You didn't have anything. The house was two-car garage, whatever size that is, two rooms in it. I was grandmother, my aunt, and my mother. They were in one room, no men, and all the kids in the other room. That was your living room, your whatever else. And then there was a little, it wasn't a sink. It was just a little thing that was where you put the water and wash dishes and stuff. And we had an ice box. That was a box with ice. It's an ice box. Did you know that was the way they used to do it? You just got a big chunk of ice, and you put that ice in the box, and you put it on, I believe we put ours on the top. And then it just went down to the bottom. And you look forward to that guy coming every day. He had a horse. It's no paved road, no stones, no nothing, just dirt road. And he had a horse, and he'd come, and we'd go out, get the dry ice. And it was always smoked, and you loved it as little kids. Oh, it's hot. We'd throw it back and forth, you know, and could hardly wait to play with it. And he would always chunk it off. He'd just chunk it right off. Here is some dry ice, and we loved it. So that was fun. You know, I didn't even know there was fun. I mean, that was fun to me. I didn't know anything about toys. We didn't have toys. I never got a gun or never got anything. One time I remember we got marbles, and I was the greatest thing I had was marbles. I had a little bag of marbles, probably 10 marbles. And I would hang on to that as my dearest treasure. And when you'd play marbles, you know, somebody else would win. They'd say, I'll bet you your whole marble bag. No, I'll about lose. And one day I did. I lost them. So that was the end of my life right there. But you learn after a while, you don't need stuff. Amen? You can live without it. Now, I'm not afraid to die. I don't care about living. It's not that much fun here for me. I'm not trying to prove anything or get anything or whatever. I'm already totally happy. So nothing can disappoint me because nothing excites me. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? If I do well, you know, let's say my stock, which went down dramatically, let's say my stock went back up. I would not rejoice. I would just go and keep it now, put it on my mattress. I thank you, Jesus, for giving it back. I'll never again gamble it in the stock market. Because I realize there's a lot of gamble there. I'd go into real estate. I'd go into something real. I don't want to play speculation anymore of up and down. I want to get in something that's always valuable. And real estate, I've found out, is only valuable not by the house that's on it or whatever, not by how nice it all looks in the area. What's valuable is the land. Just the dirt. What's this dirt worth? That's the real value of a house. The million-dollar house is nothing. What you want is the dirt. How much is that dirt worth? And the dirt today could be more worth than the house. Just the dirt you're on, right there. That's the value. So anyway, my point is that I don't really care about this stuff. Because I'm too old now to even appreciate. I just know it's like, well, I've learned about it now, but it's too late. I've already messed up and become a pastor, so that's kind of late. But since I have no fear, I wish you didn't have any fear about dying. I mean, that's the first thing you want to get over is the future. Your death will not be a major event. It's not going to be, I'm sorry, with all the people that come and weep and cry, within an hour, when they're eating cookies at the little table that was set for you, they'll have forgotten you. Oh, Pastor Jim, he was such a wonderful person. I don't know if we'll ever have anyone like that. Could you pass the peanut butter cookie right over there? Thank you. And pretty soon they've forgotten about me. You know, and here I was going to have photos, everything, music, videotapes of Jim. I love all that stuff, but it's completely worthless. Nobody, your grandkids forgot about you and so on. It's just a picture on the wall. Yeah, that's Grandpa Jim, I think. I think that's Grandpa Jim. They don't remember. So you're lost. So you worked for nothing, you know. Without a vision, my people perish. For lack of knowledge, they are destroyed. You need a vision. What is it that really counts when you boil everything down to everything is God is good, you're not. God hath set you free because he loves you for no reason at all. You don't have to be good. As a matter of fact, you can't be because you aren't. So he just wants to give you a free gift. A free gift is free. You can't come to him and say, pay me my wage, I was good enough. There are no saints that were good enough to get a wage from God. He has never paid a wage. He will never pay a wage. All have sinned. One little sin would be enough that you don't get a wage. Because the wage was for perfect. Were you? Well, I wasn't perfect, but almost. No, you don't get a wage then. Almost I hate, because that's lukewarm. It's not hot, it's not cold. Cold I would forgive. Hot is what I wanted. So, if you're cold, wicked, utterly ungodly, that I will accept. And you confess that. Lord, I don't deserve a thing. Just be merciful to me. I will accept that. The only one he'll be merciful to is the one that has no goodness in him, no ambition, no nothing. You have to be stripped naked. And why people grow in the church is simple. They've been stripped. Anyone that really grows is somebody who's died to this world. You realize, you know what? I don't have anything. I am nothing. But God has been merciful to me. You are appreciative from that moment on. I was utterly wicked. And I tell you, I'm grateful to this day for all the stuff God has done. But it doesn't mean anything because I've already got everything. Just knowing that he loves me for no reason. Whew, what joy. Joy unspeakable. I can't even say it. But it's full of glory to me. It's unbelievable. I hope you found that. That's the one pearl of great price. Sell everything you have. In other words, don't have anything. And just go get that. It's free. That's the one thing you want. Get a hold of Jesus. Sell everything else. Don't have anything else. Don't worry about anything else. Get that, and you've got everything. Then you know what he does. He doesn't have to do this. He just does it. If you'll seek first the kingdom, he'll give you everything else. When you give up Isaac, then he'll give him back to you. When you give up your wife, your husband, your children, your life, your health, everything, give it up. Then he gives it to you. It's amazing. If you're not stressed, suddenly, you're not sick. If you're not worshiping your children, suddenly you get them back and enjoy them. If you don't have to have a good marriage, you'll get one. Why? Because you'll be dead and you won't care. You just take it as a free gift. You'll begin to love people that don't deserve it. Why? Because that's the way he loved us. We love because he first loved us. How did he do it? By sending Jesus, who emptied himself, had nothing. Jesus was King of kings, Lord of lords, but he came down on earth and was nothing, and we treated him like nothing. And he didn't stop loving us. Even after we killed him, he jumped up again and said, you're forgiven. In fact, while he was dying, he said it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They have no clue as to what they're doing, but it's okay. I still love them. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get my bride. I'm going to betroth myself to her. I'll breathe into her the Holy Spirit. And I know they won't be humble or even understand it. But I'm still going to do it anyway. And then I'll promise them, wait now. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Sit here in Jerusalem. How long? Just sit. Just wait. Well, how long? Just sit. Oh, this is not Savior talking. This is now the Lord talking. Lords don't explain themselves. Parents don't explain themselves. I never explain myself to my children. Never. I just said, don't do that. If they did it, I just went and spanked them. Dad, what? Because you did thus and so. What? You didn't say. I did. Well, Dad, there's nothing to discuss. Boom. They learned after a while, you better pay attention to Dad's words. You see what that does? Then they did like, whoa, Dad said something. Wait a minute. Because he just are so arbitrary, he'll just beat you. So I, from the time they were 1.5 years old, my children totally feared me. They knew, this is Dad. The one that loves me, now I'm afraid of him because I never know when he's going to spank me because I might have done something wrong. I got their attention. Do you see, that's how you get kids' attention. Hey, you're not going to be spoiled here. It doesn't matter what we have or whatever, you're not going to be spoiled. You're the same, though you're my child, and I totally love you, and you know I do. Even so, you're going to have to learn the hard way. And I'm not going to give you stuff. Peggy was always saying, well, let's give them this and that. No, let's give them one toy. So many I had. Let's give them one toy. Then they'll appreciate it. Otherwise, they'll have two toys, step on the one to get the other one, break it. No, they won't have any. That has no value to them. Because as soon as they rip open the package, oh, this thing, thanks, Mom. Then they go on to the next one. You know? And it's just like, see, it has no value to them. I want to teach my children character long before I teach them how much I love them. That is my love to them. Give them character. The father that loves his child will chasten him. You see that? Do you see that? I mean, this is very powerful. These are the discussions we would have. One day they were arguing over a Monopoly game, and Kirsten was beating Kara. She was the oldest, you know, and that's no-no. And so she was bawling. She's beating me. Well, yeah, that's the way the game is. And so they were fighting over it, and Mom was trying to, you know, settle it or so on and so forth. And I heard them all screaming out there and so on. I came out, what's going on? And they explained it. Oh, okay, we'll take away the game, just throw it away. No, Dad, no. And Mom, no. That's wait, Peg, do you want character or fun? First time in her life, you know, she just went like, fun. It's like, she hated to say that. You know, here I am, the scoundrel, and I'm the one for character, and she's the one for fun. Just take the game away. Now, I don't want them squabbling like that. So in my home, you could not squabble. You weren't allowed to, you know, nothing. You are a child. You see, I told you how I was raised up in a German household. Children are to be seen. They are never to be heard. Don't want to hear them unless an adult speaks to you. Then you just answer directly, and that's it. So I was never allowed to talk. It was, I don't know if it's true in Germany, but it was true in my father's house. You are to be seen. You are not to be heard. When an adult is in the room, you shut. Nothing. And so that was it. And that was firm. So I have no sympathy for kids that want to, you know, have stimulation and television and so on. So when we raised our children, you could watch one show a week, Little House on the Prairie, and you could watch no commercials. So she had to sit there as she was watching it because she really looked forward to that one show, you know. And then as soon as the thing on, she had to run up and turn that off. Otherwise, no show at all. So I tell you, my kids were, they hated that kind of regime, but they learned Dad will, he won't bend. Isn't that funny? You see, all the while, I would totally love them. I'd give them everything. But they didn't know that till they were older. But see, my children never rebelled. To this day, they love me, not because I'm any wonderful person, but just because I broke them when they were small. And they learned, you don't deserve anything in life. Everything that you get is a gift. Thank God. And you cannot abuse my kids. They are so forgiving and so, you know, it's powerful. They're just very happy all the time, because that's what I taught. You will always be happy or I'll beat you. So they had to be happy. You know, when I walk in the house, you know, I want joy. So when they're two, they're okay. Oh, Daddy. But, you know, when they get older, Dad. You know, so I wouldn't have that. You had to be excited, Daddy. And Peg wouldn't cooperate at all. Peg, when you see me come in, it's exciting. So she didn't think it was. She didn't see the joy of that at all. But you know what? Today, she does. Do you see that? It's amazing. How could a scoundrel like me, how could that happen? Jesus, why? Because she knows not just that Jim loves her, but that Jesus loves her through Jim. She didn't want Jesus to love her. She wanted to make sure that her husband was broken. So that, Jesus, if you want to love me, break my husband, then love me through him. I said, Peg, I'm not Jesus. I know, but I want Jesus to break you. Then I'll submit. You will not. You won't submit. Yes, I will. So I said, well, that's impossible. It's not going to happen. Yes, it will. I who don't even believe in all this stuff, I'm going to believe in that. You want to tell me about how wonderful it is with Jesus, let me see it from you, where you put me first and yourself not at all. I was like, oh, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. I'm the head. Yeah, I heard your sermon. You are the servant. That's what you are, head. I said, well, you're always supposed to listen to that. That was just for preaching. So my wife paid close attention. I don't want to hear about heaven on earth or heaven later. I want it on earth now through you. Then I'll believe in that God. I love it. Don't you love that? That's impossible, Peg. That's not going to happen. We're not. You can't get that out of me. Just in the Bible. Just read the Bible. No, I don't want to read the Bible. That's your part. I'm getting it from you. She wanted to see me broken. Isn't that powerful? I would never break. No, but the Holy Spirit broke me. Isn't that funny? I who would never break, broke. And Peggy, who would never submit, is submitted. Wow, why? Miracle. Did y'all see that? If religion isn't practical, it's not truth. It doesn't have to be perfect, 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 because she has a big sense of humor. But it has to be so real that you can see it. It ought to look real. And your children see it, and your grandchildren see it. And they know. I mean, they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt anyway. But you can't fool them, especially your children. You can fool your grandchildren because they don't see you that much. But you can't fool those little kids when they're your own. They can see right through you. If you have one flaw, they'll find it. I counsel married people, you know, all the time when they want to get married. And Sunday I had two different couples. And then we always go through the little thing of, well, tell me what you like about your mom, and they tell. What you don't like, and they tell. What do you like about your dad, and you don't like, and so on. Okay, now let's thank God for the good. Thank God. Now let's forgive your parent for the bad. They're not here, but just say it as though they were. Just say, Dad, I forgive you for being blah, blah. And I'll tell you what, it's always real. When kids do that, they're real. Now, you're going to bring nothing in. It's just one, you just do it one time. It could be any old thing. You have learned now the way to deal with a parent is they're not God, they're not angels, nor are they devils. They're just people. And if you can forgive your mom, and if you can love your mom in spite of sin, then you can forgive anybody in the world. And that includes your mate. So when you forgive your mom of something, you're really forgiving yourself. When you forgive your dad of something, you're really forgiving your husband. It's very powerful. That's why there has been almost no divorces. I used to say none, but one person snuck through for 35 whatever years. I don't know how long. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time, though. Because once you learn that you're not marrying a saint, you're just marrying another person. You didn't marry an illusion, you married a real person. And that real person is not a saint. Meaning, they don't always behave like a saint. But you're to love them anyway, unconditionally, no conditions. Why? That's the way Jesus loved you. So Christianity should impact your personal life, then your married life. The next thing is the bride. That's why God doesn't care about anything in the world. He doesn't care about the political or the economic or the social. He only cares about the bride. The only thing that he cares about is I want to have a bride. Just that's all I care about is my girl. What belongs to me? And out of the whole earth, I don't want anything. Turtles, frogs, trees, I don't want any of that. I just want my wife. So when Jesus comes back, what's he going to do? He's going to snatch his wife, first of all, then judge the world. He'll sort all of that out. But first, he's taking his wife to himself. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. When he comes to take his bride, you know it's over then. Everyone will be judged next. And then the sword will come out of his mouth, and then he'll clean up the devil. He's not going to clean up the devil today. Oh, God, keep the devil from us. Okay, it's a good prayer, but please do not expect to see that. God, don't let the wicked one get me. Okay, it's a great prayer. Very good prayer. Just please don't think you're doing it by your prayer. You're not able to stop the devil. God's already determined that the devil's not going to win. God is going to win. Don't worry. Even if your economy falls apart and your nation falls apart, it was never there in the first place. It was a gift. And when you turn back to God, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will seek my face, will confess their sins, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sins. And then I'll heal their land. The problem in America today is not the bad guys, the conspirators, the Zionists, the, you know, whoever. There's no bad guys out there that God even cares about. It's only his church. It's not right. The troubles we're suffering is because the church is not the church. Now, I've given you a vision today of what's on God's heart. Is everybody else where I am? I don't think so. I don't know if anybody is. I really don't care. I don't, you don't, when you're a Christian, you don't need two people. You just need Jesus. It's enough for me to know that what God has said, I literally believe. And if somebody else does, that's wonderful. And there probably is 7,000 that believe that same thing, or 70, who knows. But I don't really care. All I know is this. God, what you have said in here, I totally believe it. It's all he's after. I totally love you. I worship you. I don't just thank you that you're my Savior. I thank you that you're my Lord. And that means obey you. And that means I can't. But if you'll kill me, then I'll be able to. Because after I'm dead, I'm easier to work with. As long as I'm alive, it's like your children. When they're asleep, they're angels. You just look at them. Oh, they're so sweet. Look at them. Look, they're sound asleep. That's right. But then when they wake, they're into stuff. Oh, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. I said down. The little kids are just full of energy. They're just always thinking or doing or whatever. So that's great. That's what kids are for. But you're not going to control them. No matter how much you seem to control them, you're just going to drive yourself insane. You will. You're just going to go insane because you cannot control them. You better have a Jesus. Jesus, get them. You get them. All you can do is say the words and pray to God that they listen. You couldn't beat them enough to stop them, nor reward them enough to stop them. You can't buy their love, nor bribe them, nor intimidate them into submission. You know what? Your kids want to obey you. They really do. They want to obey you. So you have to be smarter than they. You do. You have to be smarter than a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old. You have to be smarter. And they depend on that. Golly, you know, when they're pulling away, they really don't want to pull away, because if they ever got on their own, they'd be overwhelmed. They really hope you kind of stay in there, but I hope you're clever enough to figure out how to stay in there. How many know it's not easy to raise kids? It's not easy. They won't all do what you want them to do. Some of them will pull away. There's always one in every family, at least, that will pull away and disappoint you. Sweetheart, I had high hopes for you. Don't do that. Do not do that. Of course you do, but don't say that. That's a burden on a little child. Well, Mom, I just can't. I just can't. You know, anyway, I could tell stories, I won't. But no, just love them. Just love your kids. If you love your kids, they're going to grow up healthy. They're going to grow up powerful. But you have to discipline them also. If you love them, you have to discipline them. And so this is hard for a mom, but it's easier for a dad. The mom can tell the children what to do or not to do. Stop that. Don't do that. But she's going to just be saying it all day long, because they're always doing something. Stop it. I said stop it. Now stop that right now. They just keep doing it. I said stop that. I'm going to have to spank you. The moms never do it, you see, because it's sooner or later. Then when they do it, it's explosive. You know, I said stop it. I mean it. The other one's like frozen. But they're only frozen for about 10 minutes, and then they're right back, you know. But when dads come home, that's their job. So the dad comes home, and he, you know, quietly takes them, you know, takes the stick, takes them in the back room, talks to them. You know why we're getting spanking and so on. I have no idea what mom's saying, but whatever it is, you need a spanking. I'm going to do it. And they're, you know, that's great. Dads have that. That authority belongs to the dad. The moms can do it because they have to do it, but it's not going to be that clear. Because kids, after a while, they learn mom can't spank as hard. She just can't. It's going to take dad. And dads overdo it, so, you know, somewhere in the kid's got to figure out how to work that. But they're clever. They work it. A vision. What's the vision? That God has set up the world right and left. Over here is his law. Over here is his gospel. This is bad news to your flesh. This is good news to your spirit. God wants to kill off this so that he can release this. Here's your liberty. Here's your bondage. Your bad self needs to be in utter tied down bondage all the time. Your good self needs to be free. But you don't have much on this side. So the only good you have over here is when you're dead and Jesus lives through you. That's the good side. So it's basically your bad side is over here under law. This is how God controls the world over here with law. And he'll use an Obama. He'll use anybody. He'll use Nebuchadnezzar. He'll use Cyrus. It doesn't matter. God will use anybody he has to use to stop you. And you can feel sorry for the poor oppressed people. I don't. I don't feel sorry for poor oppressed people. I do not feel sorry for them. I think something should be done. I don't feel sorry for them. They are guilty culprits. They are not innocent victims. Now, I know I was able to put on a television show in Zaire, which reached 9 countries, prime time, I guess 12 noon. I don't know what a prime time is, but it was on in the mid-morning or noon time, and then again at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, whenever prime time is. It went to 9 countries. And I stopped a revolution and didn't know it. I wasn't trying to. I was just sharing what is the role of the church to the state. What is the role of the state to the church? Should the church be over the state be over the church? Should they be equal? Should they be cooperative? Should they be distant? Should they hate each other? How should they be related? And I spelled it out, and the people in the barracks who were about to overthrow the government of Zaire, the people in the barracks listen to me every day. There's only one television station in those countries. This is Uganda, it's Zaire, it's all those surrounding countries. And they heard me, and when they saw me on the street, they would come up to me. These are soldiers. And they said, we were going to overthrow and so on. You have no idea what was going to happen. We heard your message day after day, and we decided it was wrong. And so they didn't rebel. They hadn't been paid for months. They had every reason to rebel, but they didn't do it. I believe God would rather work it out where you're not trying to eliminate a few corrupt people at the top. Very hard to get rid of corrupt people. Once they're in office, real hard to get rid of. And if you just take it in your own hands to kill them off or whatever, it's not going to work. They will become even more repressive. Look at the whole history of the world. Doesn't happen that you can kill one man and change a regime. It starts in the hearts of the people over here. This is the only light and the only salt in the world. There's not much light and salt over here. Good people, hypocrite people, you know, people behaving themselves, they don't change much. This is the only hope right over here. Don't govern the world until you govern yourself. That's the problem. The church is not a light. Its light is so dim. It is a light, but it's dim. It's not that bright. A few individuals here and there and so on. But usually the church itself is as corrupt as and in line with that corrupt government as any government ever has been. It's very hard to beat that system. God will not do it. He's not into that of, you know, look at all the liberty. This is America's vision, you know. Oh, we're a free people. We run this revolution and so on and so forth. I don't believe all this stuff. I believe, you know, we're still in trouble. So there's something wrong with this wonderful vision that we came up with. I do believe there's been some nice things happening and so on, but obviously it's not that good because it's produced the kind of garbage we have today. The French Revolution won. The American Revolution lost. The French, you know, their silly stuff, egalite, fraternity, you know, all this kind of stuff's nonsense. There was no liberty in the French. None. Never has been and never will be. I could go through the whole history of France. Liberty is not one of their strong points. The joie de vivre of France is nothing. It's just a song. It means they're loose in their morals. The French are not disciplined. The French are not disciplined. They're, you know, c'est la guerre, c'est la vie. You know, just loose. You know, drink a lot of wine. It's not disciplined. But America started out disciplined, but it was too rigid. But it started out with discipline. By the time you got to the founding fathers, it was a nice combination. A very interesting period, but it has not been repeated because the church itself missed the opportunity. Jefferson was more open, even though he was a deist or whatever. He called himself a Christian, so it doesn't matter. Whatever he was, he at least feared God to an extent and mentioned his name. So he believed that God intervened, and he believed it counted. So I don't think he's a deist. But whatever he is, He was helping this country more than anything else, but it's just a theory until people put it in practice. You can't govern a people that's ungovernable. If a people are not Christian, if they're not, in fact, more than just hypocrites, if they're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. And so he predicted and prophesied, you know, sooner or later the people will figure out how to use the largesse of the people, that is the money, the taxes, and get it all into their own hands. Take it from the people, and they'll lose all their liberties. Exactly what has happened, and it's going to continue to happen until the church wakes up, not the state, not the nation. We have so many people in the nation now that want handouts. They just want, you know, gimme, 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 government take care of me, and they worship then the absolute state, statist, real politic, Bismarck, you know, that whole Machiavellian understanding of government. In government, you can lie, you can cheat, you can assassinate, you do whatever you have to do to keep the power. Well, you have that kind of government. All during the 20th century, that was the nature of our government. And now in the 21st century, it's becoming bolder, becoming very bold. So whether we ever get it back or not, I have no idea. I just know one thing. The vision you need to know is God's only interested in one thing. He doesn't care about that. That is not what he cares about. Oh, let's pray for our nation. Okay, he said to us, so you can pray. But do not put all your weight there. You better pray for yourself first. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, that's all I want. So he is not coming back for a fixed-up world. He's coming back for a pure bride. Are you part of that pure bride? Because the bride is not a church. The bride is anybody individually who has given themselves over to the lordship of Christ in their lives, who is happy. You can cause suffering all you want to me. Hurt me if you want. Do anything you want to me. I'm not going to lose my joy. Why? Because I'm submitted to him. I totally trust him. I don't need anything to be fixed up for me to trust him. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I'm not afraid of whatever. Whatever comes, it's fine with me. I don't have to play God. I don't have a theology that says I have to clean the world up. I work hard to do it, but I don't take it seriously. I want to be responsible, but I don't take it seriously. All I want to take seriously is one thing. Lord, if anything good's going to happen, you're going to do it. Do it for me. Do it in me. Do it through me. But you do it, and I'll give you all the glory. And I know you'll give it right back to me. When you serve the Lord, there are great dividends, but you don't serve him to get dividends because he's going to give you those anyway. He just wants you to be a son. And he's going to, I can't judge that. If somebody does something, I can't tell you whether it's in the flesh or the spirit or wicked or whatever. I can't tell you, but God knows. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. That's all he's looking for. Now, if that happens, praise the Lord. And I know it's going to happen, but I don't know how. I do not know how it happens. All I know is I just take care of me. Just take care of me. I'm not able to force the church. I'm only able to tell them. I can tell you I can't make you, and I will not make you. I will not make you. If you're submitted, that still doesn't mean anything. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I'm completely submitted to you. Okay, it's just words. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, but I'll just give you the word. And if you respond to the word, you're not being discipled to me. You're being discipled to him. You don't need to call me up every 5 minutes. You need to call him up every 5 minutes. Stay with him. So, I mean, people do call me, but, you know, I'm just going to tell them, go to Jesus. We'll just, you know, rejoice. I sometimes have a word, but, you know, the thing is, you don't really need a human being. You have the teacher that dwells within. You already know. And when you hear my words, a woman called me up this morning, completely, you know, I couldn't sleep all night, you know, I was in utter pain, blah, blah, blah. And I knew immediately what the problem wasn't and what the problem was. I knew in the Holy Spirit, just I knew. And she went on and on. So I just told her, stop. Here's the word of the Lord. Not receive this. I don't care if she receives it. Here's the word of the Lord. You're the problem. Here it is. Da-da-da-da. Do this, you'll be free. Didn't pray for healing, didn't pray for anything. Just this is it, right here. This is what the problem is, right here, and it's you. You have total power over this. And I told her exactly how to do it. Do it like this. This is God speaking to you. Do this, 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 this. Four things. One, two, three, four. You do these four things, you'll be free. She was radiant immediately. Why? Because in her own spirit, she went, You know what? I didn't want that answer. I did not call you to hear what you just said, but I know that's the truth. I got to let this go, and 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 then I'll be free. So all of a sudden, the rage went out of her body. All of a sudden, all of the stuff, and she was at total peace. You know, we didn't need to massage her. We didn't need to pray for her. We didn't need to have a miracle or sign or wonder. Just the Word of God itself is perfect peace. It's perfect peace. That's what I do on a daily basis. I just want to hear Jesus. When you hear Jesus on a daily basis say, I love you, it's over. It's over. That's all there's to it. He loves you intimately. He loves you intimately. And that is what makes when Peggy and I wake up each morning, she'll share with me what God has shown her or whatever. Very powerful. Very powerful. I mean, it's a joy to sit across the table from each other and listen to what she says and share. That is just very powerful. It's like heaven. It's like a church should be. It, you know, Jim, I think you did wrong yesterday with such and such. Yeah, I think you're right. I did. That's good. Thank you. And so on and so forth. And it's easy. It's sweet. That's the Lord. I don't take that from her. I take that from her being faithful to share what it is. She's sometimes wrong, sometimes right. It doesn't matter. But I witness to that. You're right. I did wrong. But this is this. Ah, that's right. I tell you, that's a beautiful marriage. Why? Complements one another. She sees a blind spot in me. I see a blind spot in her. Beautiful. Do you see that? Do y'all see that? That's a true marriage. That's what marriage should be, where you grow more and more in love with Jesus and therefore each other. Because you see how Jesus uses that other person that you might have ignored or counted less than worthy or valuable. But God doesn't. You're valuable. Everything you breathe and say and do is valuable. Only God can work all that out. We cannot organize that. We cannot make that happen. Do you have a vision? How many here have a vision that what God really wants is not fix up my life and the world and my flesh and all that stuff? Leave that alone. You're going to get to it later. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying it's not first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Judgment begins first in the house of God. So if judgment begins here, it's not going to begin here. And most people want this fixed up. You fix up the world. That's communism. Fix up the world and I'll be happy. No. Outward things do not need to be fixed up for your happiness. Internal happiness comes from the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in Him. You need a person. And there's only one in the whole universe. That's it. So you don't need anything fixed up. If only my husband would. If only I would lose weight. If only this would happen. If only that. If only this. If only that. What if this? What if that? What? Don't worry about all that. Throw that away. Just seek one thing. Jesus, do you love me? I mean, you say you do. So I just need to know that. Let's get to the bottom of that. What if I did everything wrong? Would you still love me? That's all I need to know. That's all kids want to know. All kids want to know is, if I do the worst thing in the world, will you cut me off? Or will you still love me? That's all a husband wants to know. That's all a wife wants to know. If I do the most God-awful thing, will you forgive me? You got a marriage. You got a relationship. That is love. Love doesn't say, do you deserve my love? Love says, do you need love? In other words, does God want you to have love that you don't deserve? That's love. That's love. Could you forgive me if I did whatever I did or didn't do whatever I should have done but didn't do? Most of you could not. It's very hard to forgive somebody that, you know, you could have done something, you didn't do it. Or, why did you do that? I hate you for that. And I'll always hate you, okay? There's nothing you can do about that. I'll just tell you right now, I couldn't survive if I depended on that. Thank God you're not God. You're not God. And whether I can do that or not, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But I do know one thing. God can do it. That's why I have Him as my God. He's the model. He's the example. He's the one that I'm going to go to. And if He said, what I need is my death, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue. I may not ask for it. Could I postpone that for another day? Could we get to the bottom of all my sins today? I might not want to get to the bottom of all my sins today. I might want to keep a couple just in case. But he said, Jim, let's get to the bottom on that one. Okay, good. I just one more hour. One more. If I could just keep that a little longer, because I feel I'm not quite done with that one. I haven't quite gotten everything I could out of that sin. Has anybody got one of those where you're just still going to hang on to fear a little longer, self-pity a little longer, anger, bitterness, judgmentalism, you know, whatever. I'm just going to keep that a little longer because I think I could use it. And it just comes in so handy. Well, God doesn't want you to have any of that. He wants you to let it all go. Let it all go. Just love people for nothing. Don't love them because they deserve it. Just love them. Just walk up to people that absolutely do not deserve it and surprise them. they're like shocked. He's like, don't treat me like that. You scare me. I know you hate me. He said, don't do that. And you just let them know, no, I don't hate you. Jesus loves you. And I do too. That's powerful. That's what I tell my wife. It's powerful. It's powerful. And my wife, I did it for years and years and years. She didn't do it back. Now my wife is doing it. You know, I mean, it's powerful. I said, Peg, what are you doing? I don't feel like saying this, but I'm going to say it. Well, you don't have to. I want to. You can't say I can't. I said, okay, say it. I said, well, I love you. Okay. You don't have to mean it. No, but I think I do mean it. Okay. Well, it's okay. I'll take it. You want to hug me right now? And so it's fun. It's fun. And she's realizing, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. I really do love you. Wow, this is kind of like a surprise. Y'all don't see the power of that. It's very powerful. It's powerful to break that stronghold of reserve inside ourselves that we can't say what we really want to say because we're scared to give ourselves because we'll get hurt. Of course you will. Of course you will. But who wants to listen to the devil? Just do it anyway. Do it because God says that's who you really are. You're not doing it psychologically. Because psychologically, it's a lie. You're doing it spiritually. Spiritually, it's the truth. And it'll set you free. Honesty will never set anybody free. Truth will set you free. I hope you're blessed today. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The only knowledge I gave you today was the only thing he wants is a bride without spot or wrinkle. And you should be justified, sanctified, glorified. That's all. Till you're finished. Till you're finished. Well, it'll never happen until this world's over, but let the process go on. And you could start today. You know you could do all of that today. You'd have to start all over again tomorrow, but you could do it all today anyway. Just waste a day being kind. It won't kill you. It might even be a blessing. Just, you know, tell people that you're such a blessing. You're 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 a blessing. To God, much more important than to me, but also to me. I love you, meaning I don't have a life. I don't have an interest apart from you. Your interest is my interest. That's very powerful. That's the death of anybody. That's the death he wants. He doesn't want your physical death. He wants your psychological soul self death. A man who gives up his life, that's what he's talking about. The word in the Greek language is not life. You say, a man give up his life. The word isn't life. It's psuche, soul, self. That's not your physical life like bios. It's not your spiritual life like zoe. So it's your psychological life or yourself. What you think of yourself, stop it. You don't even know who you are. Don't know anything. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. So, I hope you're blessed today.